Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
It's us again. Welcome back. Every Friday, another episode. You listen whenever you feel like, whether it's in the bath, it's walking the dog, or it's on your drive to work. We thank you for tuning in. So another episode for you. It is Ladies of Liverpool. I'm Leanne Campbell, and we're sponsored by Taskers Online. You know this because you've seen it on our Instagram page. We thank Taskers helping us to get out and about in the community and to spread awareness for so many wonderful things that are happening right across our city, the Northwest, and beyond. I've got two for the price of one for you today. Two wonderful ladies of Liverpool doing something spectacular. Have you heard of Sean's Place? If not, get yourself familiar with it because Debbie is behind it with the help of Terry Dwyer. Ladies, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yes. It's Debbie's second time actually on the pod. She was with me right at the very start of the Ladies of Liverpool journey, and that was many, many years ago. And you were in a very different place. So can you just remind our listeners who might have just joined us recently over the last year, why you were sat in the chair with me all those years ago?
So yeah, it was 5 years ago when we did the podcast. Sean had just died. It was a horrendous time. So in the circumstances that Sean died, there was an investigation, there was a huge inquest, and it was a really, really dark time. And we knew that if Sean had different support, he'd probably still be here, but that support didn't exist. So very quickly, I started to think of ideas and what we can do in Sean's memory to help people who are just like Sean. And I think just in that ideas stage, you'd reached out to us and said, look, I've seen what you're doing and what you're trying to do. Do you want to come and talk about it on the podcast? And it was just amazing. She was the first person to actually believe in us.
Aww.
Give us that platform and that opportunity. And it did snowball since then, because a lot of people had seen what we'd spoken about on the podcast and reached out to say, my uncle was struggling, or, you know, my friend's struggling now, my dad's struggling. They would all come to somewhere like this. And it started to give me the confidence that actually this might be something. But I remember on the podcast, you know, if you listen back many episodes ago.
You can search back through Spotify and you can listen and compare the difference to where you were then and where you are now.
I was just so emotional because I was still grieving very much. I probably shouldn't have been doing it at the time because I was very much grieving. But I remember, like, even when I see you now, I remember that day, how I was feeling. You know, I'd just been to a meeting about the inquest in the morning. Then I'm at the top of the, you know, the tower talking to yourself. But that platform and that opportunity really was the start of something special.
I love that about this community. These women and men, we have loads of fellas who listen to this podcast because I get to see the stats. So I know exactly how many there are. It's wonderful to see how everyone just comes together and everyone's so positive and supportive. And in a world where now with social media, people can be absolute arseholes if they want to be, you know, without any comeback whatsoever. It's wonderful to see that that's not welcome in this community that we've built. And and it's so important for what you're trying to do. Now, sat next to you, we've got Terry Dwyer.
Hello.
Hot fame and 60 Minute Makeover.
Hi.
How did this friendship come about?
Well, I'm having a second career. I started producing, so I've kind of gone behind the camera, and it kind of happened quite organically. Scripts would come to me to acting, and then they said, actually, would you produce? Because I never knew what I was doing. So I kind of always took things as far as I could and then brought people in to do jobs that I couldn't do. Yeah. So the first play I produced and I was in, the writer was nominated for an Olivier. And I thought, well, as an actress, I've never been anywhere near an Olivier. Maybe I've got something to offer this producing lark. And then I did a film with Rutger Hauer. So we did, do you remember Rutger from Blade Runner?
Oh, yeah.
So we did his last film before he passed. And then the world shut down. And I thought, I've got a good idea. Why don't I start a company when the whole world's closing down? So I set up Buffalo Dragon, and at the height of the pandemic, I optioned a USA Today bestselling book, raised the money, got the screenplay wrote, and I was on set 10 weeks later shooting our first film, The Stranger in Our Bed, which was a psychological thriller. I mean, it was absolutely mental looking back, because there's no free tests then.
Yeah.
We got this far at this place in Northampton, and we had to kind of create like a studio, because of course, you kind of needed to create a bubble in them.
Yeah.
And we drafted a nurse down from Liverpool, because I mean, I know this is called Ladies of Liverpool, yeah, but I have lived here. This is my home. I never left really when I left Hollyoaks. Actually, I moved to London and then moved back. So I'm called an honorary scouser.
It's
so
mad, isn't it? How, yeah, people just come here, settle and just, yeah, can't seem to find anywhere else to,
oh,
go.
I wouldn't be anywhere else. And I think that's partly why I wanted to set up the company, because I wanted to work here. I wanted to, you know, make job opportunities for people in our city. Yeah. And the second film, which was Bowling Shoes, and I was so proud of it because it was nominated for a Welsh BAFTA, because we straddle Liverpool and Wales.
Yeah.
And it had themes of mental health. And so Laura, who I was working with at the time, we both felt quite passionately about trying to find a grassroots charity, mm-hmm, because, you know, Mind and these bigger mental health charities, they don't need us to shine a light on them.
Yeah.
And so we came across Sean's Place, and what we were hoping to do with the premieres, because we, you know, we had this big swanky premiere in Liverpool. Again, we didn't want to take it to London. I wanted to do it in our city.
Nice.
So we had celebs up, and it was just a really good opportunity and platform to let people know outside of the city. In, you know, there was 400 people at the premiere, mm, and we were able to really put the spotlight on Sean's Place. Then, of course, I met Debbie, and because actually you couldn't be at the premiere, no, because you at the rare occasion you were, yeah, away. And I think when I realized, I mean, Debbie's really humble about Sean's Place, but we've worked very closely together now for 2 years. And you know, when she first set it up, she only expected 10 men through the door. And even, I mean, I was there in one morning doing a meeting about some, because we do events, but we've also done script sessions for the guys, and we've, yeah, done acting sessions. So we try and bring our knowledge into Sean's Place.
Yeah.
I mean, there was 3 men referred from A&E to Sean's Place in that morning. And poor Debbie was having to go, "I'm really sorry, Toe." And I was like, "My God, you're saving lives." I'm sitting here deciding what kind of, you know, colour coordination we're going to have for our event.
It does put it into perspective, doesn't it, when you hear that? 3 calls in the space of a meeting,
yeah,
from A&E. That's the demand right
it,
now.
It actually makes me feel really emotional,
yeah,
thinking about it. And the last ball.
Both of your eyes were like,
I know,
talking about,
well,
it.
Do you know, because I think it's an epidemic. Mm. You know, people are saying that they're talking about it, but they're not.
No.
They're not talking about it. Like the last, our very first ball, which I'm sure we'll get onto, because thankfully you're taking over the hosting, because I cannot event run and host. It's just, I was literally had my...
We had our slippers on.
Yeah, we had the slippers on when we were event managing. And then by the side of the stage, I had to put heels on and go, and...
So we are hosting a winter ball. That's why we're all sat, yeah, together. We're all, yeah, working together, and we're going to create something magical. And you could be there as well. We'll give you all the details at the end. But it started off with the first one. Tell me more about the first one.
With the first one, we were talking, because we'd done these kind of, and you chip in, acting and writing workshops, and we'd just loved it. And every time I go into the place and listen to the guys, and you think, honestly, I've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
These guys are, they're really inspirational, aren't they? And just,
I think it just get, Terry's, yeah, so humble as well. So Terry didn't just do the premiere. Like you do get, we get a lot of celebrities and stuff who want to work with us, which is amazing. And, you know, any publicity for Sean's Place is incredible because it encourages more people to reach out. But some people will do a lovely Instagram post and we'll never see them again.
Yeah.
And for us, when we were talking about our ambassadors of Sean's Place, we wanted people that really wanted to work with us and collaborate, and it not just be an Instagram post.
Yeah.
And Terry did exactly what she said she was going to do. You've stuck around. She's, as I said, she brought all the expertise and the knowledge into Sean's Place. She brought Ian Pilson Davis, mm, who is
one of the patrons,
yeah,
with
he's
me.
He's one of our patrons now as well. And she's held my hand for 2 years. And these events, I was terrified about doing any sort of big event. One, we don't have that many friends. We don't know that many people that will buy tickets. And it was a risk because obviously we've got to be careful with the money that we have in the service,
yeah,
not to lose any money. So it was a massive risk, but I completely put my trust in Terry, and she just pulled in every single resource, everyone who she knew, every connection. Yeah. And we did, and it was incredible, which we'll talk about in a sec. And then I thought, well, that'll be it now. Terry sort of done what she said she was going to do, and we might not see it again. She was like, no, we're going again next year. Let's have a meeting in a week.
What? And I was, that is terrifying. Have you got a personal experience with suicide or mental health?
I definitely have personal experiences with mental health. And I would talk about it, but it's not my story to tell. But it meant that it was a really difficult time. And I think because I've been touched by that. Mm. But also, I think my job as a producer, I produce film, TV and factual through Buffalo Dragon and Level 6. We kind of co-produce because, you know, the industry is really difficult at the moment. So Will and I have a joint slate. And basically, a producer's job is like the conductor of an orchestra. And when you're in production, they take each instrument and make them work well with other instruments to make that beautiful piece of art, whether it be film or TV. But essentially, it's a big event organisation.
Yes, yes.
And even at Hollyoaks, I was the social secretary. I mean, that was my job. So I was always destined to this. And then, you know, my birthday, I mean, Sean, who I know you know, at my 40th, I had a massive birthday. And I never really stopped. Every year, I kept doing this. And he was like, babe, why are you doing a birthday party? Have you? And I think it comes back to, you know, I had a near-death experience when I was 18. And I think and I've talked openly, it was a car crash. I think when you've been that close to death, you know, I was a bit wild, living every minute like it was my last, which I don't recommend. but I just have my glasses half full, and I've got a lot to do.
Yeah.
And I do really believe if you're in a position, and I applaud anybody who has got a successful business, or if they've got, you know, is there some kind of education that you can offer the guys at Sean's Place? Is there some kind of sponsorship? Because I cannot stress enough, it's a struggle for Debbie to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
You know, I listen sometimes to the worry that she has, and she has to jump through all these hoops for different kind of funding. But, you know, it costs a lot to be able to offer that service free.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're being recognised and needed by the NHS. But I think people think that it's okay because it's big and it's up and running, but it's really not.
That's the tightrope, isn't it? Now you are getting attention from people, and we're seeing you winning awards and things like that. You run the risk of people thinking, oh, they're flying. They don't need my help. Not the case.
Yeah.
That's why we're throwing this huge event.
Yeah, well, this is it. When we first started Sean's Place, I had about £50 in my bank. We had a couple of rich tea biscuits and a kettle in the back of my car and some amazing volunteers. And we could run like that and do a lot with very little at that time. Mm. But the more people that now know about us, the more people have good experiences and tell their friends to come to us, which is absolutely what we want. We need an infrastructure now. So we've now got 10 full-time employed staff. We've got a team of 20 volunteers who keep everything going. And we've got a huge premises as well, which obviously we know the cost of electricity and gas. I don't need to tell anybody.
Yeah.
But everything that we do is completely free of charge, and we want to keep it that way, which is why these events just help us to really be able to have that, almost our unrestricted funds, because when you apply for grants, grant funders are amazing, but they want to fund a staff member or a project.
Oh, really?
So we want to pay for the non-sexy stuff like the insurance or your electricity or your business rates. Like, no one ever wants to pay for that kind of stuff, because obviously we can't measure the impacts of that.
Yeah.
So we then have to really, really work hard to find the funding behind the scenes for all of that day-to-day, the running costs, which is why when Terry offered to support, it was like a big weight off our shoulders, because that is what keeps me awake at night. It's like, how are we going to find the money next year to pay for all of our staff, to pay for all of the building costs, to pay for all of the activities that we run? So these events really are crucial for us to be able to continue for another year without that fear.
So this winter ball, I'm hosting.
Yes!
Always can't
I'm
wait.
I'm so delighted to pass that microphone to you.
Do you know what, Terry? It was a weird one, because I was like, sat up, I think it was 11 o'clock on a Friday night. And just before I went to sleep, I checked my DMs on Insta, and then there's Teddy just sitting there. Hi, I don't know if you remember me. I'm like, it's Teddy's wired off 6 minutes. I definitely remember you. I was like, yeah. She's like, we're doing this event. And when she mentioned Shaw's Place, I'm like, she doesn't know I know you. And we're all just doing our own thing behind the scenes in different directions. For the three of us to come together, especially for the first time, do something so wonderful for so many people.
It's such a lovely 360 moment. That first podcast, and now you're posting our event.
It's weird, like, if you could write the story. If you were writing the novel,
maybe you will one day.
Maybe that'll sell. Every, ladies, gentlemen, buy the book.
Any authors.
So tickets are on sale now. How do we get the tickets, first and foremost?
They just need to contact us. So we, all of our social media platforms, you can DM us, or they could email info@children'splace.org.uk and just let us know how many tickets you want.
Everyone's welcome. Come alone, bring a friend, buy a table, do whatever you want to do. That's going to be marvellous.
Yeah.
And what can people expect from this night? This is for me more so than anyone else.
Well, we're going to hold some things back because I want it to be a surprise. Obviously, you will know because you'll have to rehearse. But like the first one we did was Soap Stars Sing.
Okay.
Because obviously it was made sense to tap into some of my relationships, and we did it in the smaller venue in the Titanic, which was amazing. And and it was really intimate, and it was a real kind of we did it moment. You know, there was 200 people, which was, you know, it was a good...
Well, Terry said before the podcast, you know, Debbie loved that and it was really small, but what are we doing it for? We need to do it on a bigger scale because... It's so important we get this money where it's supposed to be, doing the things it's supposed to do.
My phone, the Titanic, are probably about 3 months ago, and I'll say, are we too late to go back to the smaller room? She was like, Tabby, you don't need to. She was like, you are going to sell out. I was like, but what if we don't? And she was like, I'm not even speaking to you yet.
So it's twice the size now, and we have gone into the bigger room in the Titanic, and we've got three tables to go to before we sell out. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure we will do it, but it's just, I think for Debbie and I as well, it's filling the room full of the right people as well, and people that are really understanding the journey. You know, we want this to grow year on year. Although, of course, we're trying to raise money, but what we're very careful when we schedule the event is just to make sure people don't feel like it's, you know, sell, sell, sell. We want them to come. So we've got lots of kind of pomp and frill, which is obviously my jazz hands performer in me.
The famous Moulin Rouge as well. So anyone who knows Moulin Rouge knows it's very sexy, very red, really black. Loads of amazing music and entertainment.
So we've got you know, paparazzi there, we've got celebrities there, we've got, you know, beautiful atrium in the Titanic for the drinks, and then they move into the big room and there's a little bit of pomp and frill in there, and then we've got live performances, we've got I'm not going to say who, but we've got a female band led by one of my old celebrity colleagues, and we have got another celebrity colleague who used to be in Coronation Street. He's going to be performing, and then we've got DJ Dave Seed.
Oh, he's the best.
Who is, by the way, all those birthday parties that I told you about, it was always Dave Seed.
Oh, he's got to be.
He's brilliant. We love Dave. And actually, because he does a lot of this, he's been really good in kind of saying this doesn't work, this does work, and just giving us a few tips, because it is really important that people A, feel like they're getting value for money. We want them to come back, and brilliantly, a lot of the tables that went quite early was everyone from last year.
That's when you know you did a good job.
But it's tough though, isn't it?
Yeah, this year we've had a little bit of help, haven't we? Because we didn't have any sponsors for the event last year. We had Tony the Carpenter sponsored some of our venues at home, which was lovely, and this year the cost was going to multiply. So we asked a couple of partners that we work with, would they be interested in sponsoring the event? So we got two headline sponsors. We got Frank Rogers, who have been incredible supporters right the way throughout Children's
Brilliant.
Place, and also the Carpenters, who are always there whenever we need them. So just wanted to give a little shout out to them as well. But like,
I think it's probably important to mention them after you're saying that. If you can't come to the event, or you're not really the social type, but you'd just like to make a donation, maybe. Well, I'll promote the fact that you've donated, because people like getting something for something. I get that. And businesses are struggling. And, you know, it's lovely if you can get a bit of promo. I'll promo you. Terry will. Of course, Sean's Place will. If you want to get involved, you can contact me directly too, if you can't find Sean's Place. But it's easy. Instagram, Facebook, the website.
And also, I think we're going to allow the raffle to be sold before the event, and some of the raffle prices are amazing.
You could buy a ticket just from listening to this part.
I'm saying we are.
By the time this goes out,
Okay. And actually, some of the raffle prizes, you'll know better than me, but there's Can you remember them off the top of your head?
No pressure.
Yeah. There's spot. Oh, I know. Yeah. There's £2 times £100 vouchers donated by Marsden's at one of their local pubs.
Spa Night of the Titanic.
Spa Night of the Titanic.
Spa in the Titanic.
Hope Street. Yeah. Meal at the Hope Street Hotel as well. There's loads of amazing prizes on there, but we would love some more if anybody runs a business and can't make the night, but they're able to donate a prize or like anything to the auction that we could speak to them about.
Or even money, because what some people have done, they didn't necessarily have anything tangible. So they said, you know, well, we'll give you £100. Well, what we could do is like afternoon tea for two with that £100 quid, and then that become part of the raffle prize. So the raffle prizes are really good value, aren't they, for your £20 a ticket. So if anyone wants to just support the event, then if they email info@seansplace.org.com.
UK.
Yes.
Clearly open.
By the time I get to the event, I'll know it.
Yes.
Or contact any one of the three of us. Then we can always give that email out, because obviously we need to take their information in case they win on that.
I'll include it on all the posts and the videos I put out with this. I'll tag you in so it's nice and easy. We'll make it as easy as possible for everyone to get involved.
At least they can get something for their £20 potentially.
Yeah.
Which is what we tried to do through the night. The most things where we're asking people to kind of put their £20 in, there's always, apart from one thing, there's always something they can potentially win or have.
Yep.
So it's not money for nothing.
Absolutely. And I think that's important, isn't it? So before we come to the end of this pod, I feel like it's really important for us to remember Sean's Place is not just a name. Sean was your brother. Yeah. He was a human. And we sit here now and we listen to all this wonderful stuff and this glamorous stuff and the positivity that you're spreading and the good that you're doing. Debbie, it's unbelievable. This is why you're winning awards and you're doing such amazing things, and everybody's really standing up now and paying attention to what you're doing. But that's not all what this is about. This is a sister who lost a brother in the worst of circumstances and did something with that grief. Where you sit right now compared to when you sat with me 5 years ago, how's life changed for you? Grieving your brother and doing what you're doing, how does that sit with you on a personal level? Getting down to just two humans now, sitting, looking each other in the eye.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Because it is really uncomfortable talking about things like money and stuff, which is why it's amazing to have support. Yeah. Because this isn't why I set Sean's Place up. You know, we didn't set it up because we didn't want anyone like Sean to lose their life, because support wasn't there. I don't know, we were talking before the podcast about people that we know and we've lost, and it's so common. And I think for me personally, it is bittersweet. You know, I spend all day doing lovely glamorous stuff like this, but when I go home at night, because I can't go home at night, and I've got three children who lost an uncle who was like the best friend. And we were saying that, I was talking to someone this morning, I went to an incredible fundraiser a couple of weeks ago. They were doing a 24-hour football match. These men were unreal, like so kind. And I took my daughter because it was a lovely family-friendly event. And they asked me to do a talk. And I wanted to talk about Sean and, you know, how overwhelmed he was at being to see what these men were putting themselves through to raise money for Sean's Place. And my daughter was there. And when I came off, she was sobbing and she hugged me so tight. And I think I took for granted that this is a job now for me. And, you know, it's the best job in the world. But we've still lost my brother. We've still lost, you know, the kid's uncle. And it's those moments that people don't see. You know, I'll go to an event and they'll ask me to do a speech about men's mental health and Sean's Place. And I'll talk about my brother ultimately dying. That's what I'm asked to talk about. And then I go back to a hotel room, or I'll be driving home, and that stays with you. And I think that's it, behind the scenes things that not everybody sees when they think about Sean's Place. You see the incredible work that our team are doing, and they see our glitzy events. But ultimately, beneath all of that is that deep pain that, you know, we've lost somebody, and we don't want that to happen to anybody else. So as much as this is all sparkly and amazing and glitzy, and we absolutely need it, we do not want to lose anybody else to suicide, and ultimately that is why we're doing this.
Honestly, you always put it so well, considering the hate and the grief that you continue to go through. And I just know every time I'm in your company and I see you either speaking in front of a group or now on a podcast, there'll be people all over the place, whose faces you'll never know, you'll never remember, whose lives you're changing. You're talking about looking for the signs and preventing this for other people. Mm. And it would be so easy for you to just go away and be heartbroken for the rest of your life. I've got a brother. Yeah. And when you talk about him, I think of my brother and I think, this is an actual family going through the worst thing. And to look back and think, if I'd have known that, but to go forward and pass that message to others, to save men's lives every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is unbelievable. And I'm so proud of everything you've done.
Thank you.
And I know that the city is and beyond. So keep doing what you're doing and we'll support you in every way that we possibly can. And you've just gained however many 100,000 fans now listening, going, I believe in you. I believe in you, Debbie, and so will all my lot. And we'll do everything we can, including supporting this winter ball.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Leah.
Let's go make it a night no one will ever forget. And if you can't make it this year, be sure to be in there first for next year to get your table. Girls, you're both unbelievable. Terry, your support off the scale and everyone's so grateful.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.
Huge thanks to our sponsors, Taskers. Check out all the furniture and their brand new look in store or head to taskersonline.com.